The head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, joins us as he does on every Patriots Monday. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Doing good, Dale.
A little more enjoyable day
on,
at
Bill?
Work than last Tuesday was, I would guess. A little more smiling around the facility.
Well, yeah, certainly it was much more satisfying game yesterday. But I think we've already turned the page on this one and headed to Buffalo. So can't enjoy it for long in this league, unfortunately. But it was good to see the team perform well last night, and got to give the players a lot of credit. They did a good job.
Now, we were watching a part of the presentation in the locker room last night. Gave a game ball to Tom Brady and mentioned the accomplishment, the milestone, 50,000 yards. Can you put that into perspective, whether it's the 50,000 yards from Brady at this point in his career and in fewer than 200 games, or just the fact that he's been able to do what he's done for so long?
We're not really into a lot of big individual stats, but just the concept of 50,000 yards, it's a lot of passing. So, it's quite an accomplishment. And, Tom's been a great player for us for a long time, and so it's good to be able to recognize that. But more importantly, the win, it's more important for the team to play well. I know he feels that way. We all feel that way. So it's not really about the individual awards; it's about our team.
Is it just me as an observer, or did you sense standing on the sideline or in the locker room that your team was a little more emotional than perhaps they've been earlier in the season? And I think that emotion helped in the way they performed on the field as well.
Well, I think that we had some success early in the game, which we haven't had, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I mean, it's great to be emotional and energetic and excited when you're making plays, when you're gaining yards and taking the offense off the field and their offense off the field and scoring points, and it gets you excited. It should get you excited. Unfortunately, we haven't been doing a lot of that at the beginning of the games. We've been falling behind and playing from behind. And, even the Minnesota game, I mean, we're down 7-0 and go 3-and-out on offense and, had the interception that kind of got us back into the game to tie it up 7-7. But, it's the same thing. So, sure, when things are going well and you're making plays, I think you are emotional and your team's excited, and they should be. When you're not, it's hard to get excited when you go 3-and-out, or hard to get excited when you give an 80-yard touchdown drive.
I do have to ask you one theoretical. If you'd won the toss, would you have deferred again?
We talked about it. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't, it didn't come up. But
because I loved seeing the way you got the ball and marched down the field with it, and I think it really set the tone for your team.
Absolutely. It absolutely did. And so, we can set the tone on both sides of the ball, which we haven't done that defensively either. We've given up prior to last night. We've given up drives at the start of the half and the start of the game and the start of the second half. So we were much better in those areas last night, and that created some momentum and energy, as you said, positive energy during the game at the beginning of both halves. So, that's great. We've been trying to do that, believe me. We just got it done last night, and it helped us a lot.
I want to ask you about your approach to the Bengals. First, offensively, they have a new defensive coordinator. He's been there for 10 years, but his first year as defensive coordinator, Gunther. Was it hard for you to anticipate what he was going to do, or were you confident that he was just going to carry over some of the styles that Mike Zimmer had there for a long time in Cincinnati?
Yeah, the latter. No, I think they very much followed the defensive philosophies of was Mike Zimmer or Marvin. Either, I mean, I'd say probably Marvin, to tell you the truth. I think they're kind of like we are. They've had changes in their staff, but they've kind of continued to do the same thing. And I'd say we've pretty much done the same here, even though we've changed our staff. We've had different offensive coordinators, different defensive coordinators, different special teams coordinators, different personnel directors. But we've tried to maintain a basic overall philosophy of how we want to play the game, what our schemes are. Not that we don't modify them and change them some, but and I'd say it's the same with Cincinnati, that their schemes defensively were very much what we've seen. I don't think they gave us anything new that we haven't seen. We didn't get a couple of the looks that we thought would be a little more frequent. They changed them up a little bit, but It wasn't a case defensively where they ran a lot of things that, you know, we felt like we were drawing them up on the sideline. Offensively, we got a couple of gadget plays early. You know, the tackle split, we've seen that before. Not a lot, but they did that, the reverse on the Sanu where they handed off to him, flipped the reverse. So, you know, we got a couple of gadget plays there early. But they've continued to run a similar offense offensively to what Coach Gruden had when he was the offensive coordinator there. So, again, I think that probably relates back to the head coach, Marvin Lewis.
Do you have any idea? Well, I know you do. I had no idea what they were trying to do. You know, Tom wound up calling a timeout. They had some shifting on defense. The play clock got down to, you know, I think 3 or 2, and then he called a timeout. What do you think they were trying to – what were they trying to do there? I was like, man, that's an unusual look.
Yeah, well, they did the same thing that they did against Atlanta, and they got they got Ryan on it. In fact, we watched that. I remember watching the exact play with Tom and Jimmy Saturday evening. That they lined up in a overload blitz to the weak side against Atlanta, and Atlanta recognized it. They, you know, changed their protection. They set the protection to handle the blitz, and then as soon as they did that, then Cincinnati swung everything over and came off the strong side. After they showed a weak side blitz, they all came off the strong side and they got him. And I thought Tom made a real good decision on that play, because that's exactly what happened. The clock was, you know, coming down. He set the protection to handle the Will weak safety, which is what they had. They showed that look. They baited us into it, and we would have had that picked up. And then right at the last second, they swung it all over to the other side, and Tom recognized that he wouldn't have had time to change the protection to get it right. We would have been thrown hot into a bad situation. And so, you know, he just took the time out. And I thought that was a real good decision on his part not to, you know, have a bad play in that situation. It was a good disguise by Cincinnati. They've done that before, and they got us on it, I mean, to the timeout, and they got Atlanta on it, where they knocked Ryan down. So that's what happened on that play.
Much has been made over the years here about the relationship and how hard it is to play wide receiver in your offense, and Tom being, you know, in tune with the wide receivers. So I found it interesting to read your comments last week that you think it's harder to play tight end in this offense, to learn the tight end position in this offense than wide receiver. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't think that's what I said, Dale. I think what I said was that the tight end position is a very difficult position because of the amount of formationing that's involved, so that on every play you could be either left or right, all the formation adjustments being flexed out, being off the line, on the line, in motion, motion into the backfield, lining up in the backfield, sometimes a number three receiver, sometimes a number two receiver, sometimes a number one receiver, for example, on the backside of a slot formation. As a wide receiver, you're just not in that many locations. Your formation is either you're on the side by yourself, or you're on the side with another receiver, and then, you know, one's on and one's off, and there's just a lot less variables. And in all honesty, wide receivers in the running game usually have, you know, basically one of two assignments: either block the guy over him, or to block the most dangerous of the safety in the corner on their side, block whoever the force guy is. And so, you know, on half the plays, let's call it half the running play, half the plays, which half of them are running plays, you know, it's a relatively easy assignment. Where the tight ends, you know, there's a lot more variables. There's a lot more different looks at the tight end position, whether there's a defensive lineman on you, whether the linebacker's inside or outside, whether it's a linebacker over you, whether the safety's coming down, whether it's corner rotation, and so forth and so on. And same thing on the cutoff blocks, even when the play's going to the other side. Sometimes he's got the linebacker, sometimes he's got the end, sometimes he's got the down safety. If it's a, if it's a man coverage where they're dropping into the box. So there's a lot more things that can happen at that position, a lot more formations and a lot more responsibilities. And I just think that in terms of if you're going to change formations and give the defense different looks, the tight end is really the key guy in that whole process, more so than a receiver.
Having said all that, how's Tim Wright assimilated himself into your offense? Saw some real production from him in the passing game last night.
Yeah, well, Tim's a very smart guy. And he has a very good background in the passing game from his receiver days back at Rutgers and last year down in Tampa, where he did similar things in a different offense, but similar type things where he was attached, detached, You know, at times in playing a second tight end position on the wing, on the line, off the line. So all those things. So, you know, Tim's a smart kid. He works hard. I think he picks things up very quickly. He doesn't make a lot of mental mistakes out there. I don't think that's the issue. It's just a timing and, you know, being on the same page with a quarterback, you know, knowing when to go in front of a linebacker, behind a linebacker, whether to cross a secondary, you know, safety's face, whether to go behind him, how much time you have to set up that move versus how quickly you have to break the route off based on, you know, when the quarterback's looking to get rid of the ball and so forth. So there's a lot of, you know, timing, and I would say that's the hard part about playing receiver or tight end in the passing game is just that time clock and communication with the quarterback that, you know, you're not looking at him as a receiver, you're looking at the defender, but in your mind there's a time clock that has to go off, and it's about being open when the quarterback's ready to throw the ball. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, if you're supposed to run a 16-yard route and you get jammed at the line of scrimmage or you get rerouted, you know, when you get to 13 yards, that time buzzer goes off in your head. You need to break. It doesn't matter if you're supposed to be at 16. If you're only at 13, but it's time for the quarterback to throw you the ball, then you need to be coming out of your cut. And if you go all the way to 16, then, yeah, that's kind of how it is on the playbook, but that's not the way the play unfolded because of the amount of time it took you to get to that distance, and now the quarterback's timing is off, and he's ready to throw the ball, and you're not there. So, you know, that type of thing. I mean, I'd say guys like Deion Branch and Troy Brown, you know, were amongst the best that I've ever seen. They had an incredible knack of knowing to always do the right thing, to always know when to speed it up, when to shut it down, when to break the route off, when they had a little more time to be patient and work the technique, when they had to rush it a little bit, when to do the right thing. And Troy and Deion were just exceptional at always doing that. And I would say Kevin, as a running back, kind of the same thing from a different position. So, you know, when you play with guys like those two guys, you know, as a coach or as a quarterback, you know that this is how it's supposed to be. This is, but they were so good at that and so consistent at it that no matter how many different looks they got, no matter how many different things happened, they always seemed to do the right thing. They always made the right decision as to, you know, which thing to do to kind of make the route work. And, you know, that's the kind of chemistry that quarterbacks and receivers, you know, want to build with each other. It takes, you know, time and takes a lot of work. And there's an intuitive instinct to it at both positions that, you know, sometimes it's hard to coach. You know, you can coach it after the fact, but when it happens on the run, some guys make great instinctive decisions on that. And, you know, other guys not, you know, they just don't quite have the knack to make those. But, I mean, I've been really fortunate to have been around, you know, two guys like Deion and Troy that were just incredible. And Randy on the deep balls. Randy did the same thing down the field that those guys did, you know, from the line of scrimmage to 15 yards. You know, Randy would make incredible reads and decisions and stems that would you just, I don't say you can't coach them, but they were all just so good at it. And you know, and I think that's, you know, that's the type of level that you're trying to get to in the National Football League in the passing game is just precision, execution, and timing. And you know, we're always working to get that point.
You know, I'm sure you've seen these reports out already talking about a lack of chemistry, so to speak. Tom Brady, tension with the coaching staff, tension with not getting input with the game plans, personnel groupings. What did you make of the report? I'm sure you've heard about it or seen it.
I mean, a bunch of anonymous reports. I mean, who are we talking about here?
Oh, the Chris Mortensen report.
But, I mean, who said it?
Multiple.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Multiple sources, according to.
So it's an anonymous report.
Anonymous report.
Yeah. I'm not really in the anonymous report responding mode. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And you know, and also,
I mean, we can bring up anonymous statements all day. And what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I mean, I think we're trying to get ready, you know, to come off this Cincinnati game and get ready to go against Buffalo. We know it's going to be tough up there, and they had a big win against Detroit. It's a division game on the road, and we need to win it. I think that's really what our mindset is, not responding to a bunch of, you know, anonymous stories and not even quotes, anonymous stories that are out there that are attributed to nobody.
And I thought about that. I mean, your team has been covered nationally and locally, carefully at times, and inaccurately. I mean, there are a lot of inaccurate reports about the Patriots, and accurate reports. I wonder why you responded to the Globe report. You don't always do that when you came out and said, hey, this story is not true. Why did you respond to that one and not others?
Because I thought that it portrayed the player in a very bad light that was undeserving and 100% unfounded.
It's time for our Drive of the Week, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Our Drive of the Week was the first drive of the game. And there was a fourth down quarterback sneak by Tom Brady. It's fourth and one. He gains 4 yards, converts. And I read with interest some of your comments about quarterback sneak and what goes into it. It's not just go up and slap the center on the backside with your hand and away you go. There's a lot of reading going on there.
Well, I think a good quarterback sneaker is somebody who understands what they need and whether or not they can get it. They have to make that judgment, you know, at the line of scrimmage. And I'd say usually there's somewhere along the line, there's usually space to be able to get a little bit. It's a question of whether you can get what you need. And, you know, again, defensively, if they're trying to take the sneak away, which a good defense can do, make it hard for you, then you've either got to really execute it well or find some other play to run, because if they're taking that away, there's probably something else that's a better play for you. But Tom does a great job of that, and he always has throughout his career. There have been very, very few times that he's ever been stopped when he does that, because when he does it, he, you know, has a look that he's confident in that he can get. And usually if it's not there, then he, you know, he won't do it. He's not going to do it just to do it. But, you know, I thought the play in the AFC Championship game against Baltimore, where he went over the top on fourth down because all the defensive line was submarined in there, that was an example of, you know, how resourceful, you know, he could be on a play like that. You know, when you don't need much, sometimes it's hard to want to take the ball 6-7 yards off the line of scrimmage to gain a few inches when you're almost right there. But thought in that play, he made a real good decision as in terms of which way to send the line, where he was going. There was a natural soft spot in the defense, and he hit it, and, you know, we had a kind of a good surge from our line, good movement, and, you know, he was able to, you know, pretty easily fall in there for the first down. So, but yeah, like a lot of things in football, there's just a little more to it than just, like you say, going up there and hitting the center on the butt and calling for the ball and getting a first down.
Piling into the line there. We always appreciate the time. Now we can officially say we're on to Buffalo.
Yeah, we've turned the page. We've definitely turned the page. You know, I think just, you know, watching the Bills yesterday, you know, going out 14-0 on the road against the Lions, that, you know, we've seen play a lot of good football this year. You know, they just kept the pressure on them. We're able to, you know, hold them at the end of the game to a long field goal. Missed it, took advantage of the miss. Watkins made a great catch, put him in field goal range. Carpenter makes a big kick. You know, good situation football, good alertness, and you know, fighting from behind on the road, from, you know, giving up an interception return to get down 14-0, and they shut them down the rest of the way, and, you know, made the plays they needed to make. So you know, they're 3-2. They played good football, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of energy in that stadium Sunday afternoon in Buffalo. I'm sure that place will be ready for, you know, a big AFC East tilt like it usually is up there. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
We appreciate the time. We'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good.